We're in verse 9. Doth he thank his servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? Or commanded him. Now, the word that we just got through studying a long time was thank, which means grace or thank or thanks. We're going to spend just a little bit of time on servant because that is the essence, or should be, of a believer. The word, is many times we've talked about it, the bond servant with his ear nailed to the wall and all that. But it means one who has turned himself completely over to another at the expense of him and his, and or hers. It's a word and a concept that we have no concept of in English, in our language. The idea that there is no more, the servant essentially reaches a point where reaches a point isn't the idea, but it's he has an attitude or a belief system that totally disregards his own ideas and his own opinions. It's a total disregard of self. That's hard for us to even think about, because we've grown up in a society that condemns anything like that. Even when there was servants, that wasn't this kind of servant. The idea that you lost your right to yourself in every possible way, or you never had it.
Or you voluntarily gave it up.
No, that's what happens when you are a believer. That's what the word servant, and we're going to study where that's used many times here. But I want you to get in, this isn't like a servant, like one that serves in a restaurant. It's something we have no concept of in our society. I mean, and its purpose is to reveal our rebellion. And our rebellion is legend, rampant. And part of it is because of our language. We've grown up with the right to have rights. That's the whole basis of our society. What?
I was just thinking of it also in terms of being a slave. There's a difference between a slave and a servant.
Well, I'm not sure. But I guess I haven't looked up the word slave here, but
just in general, looking at it, slave is not doing it because he wants to. Servant is voluntary. At least the believer has seen something that would draw him in that direction.
Right.
I think.
It's one who turns himself over to another's will, if you will. Yeah, and with a total and complete disregard of his own interests and his own ideas and his own actions. Let's look at the places. Let's go to Matthew 8. That's what this in verse chapter. I mean, where we are in Luke 17, verse 9. Does he thank that servant because he did the things were commanded him? That's another word we don't like in America. Command. Anyway, let's go to Matthew 8. This is the famous situation where Jesus is confronted by the centurion whose slave, if you will, was sick. And starting verse 5 of Matthew 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. One that does what's commanded him, Jesus used this example as faith. No, so great a faith that he hadn't found it in all of Israel. Now think about that. We want to wait. We want to do all kinds of things except do what's commanded. All right, let's go to another. I mean, please respond if you have any thoughts when we're doing this.
Well, that last thing, if I know a lot of people, if you command them, they won't do it. It's automatic. But if you ask or suggest,
well, that's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about people we know in our society. It's talking about what he defines as faith. Read it one more time.
I think most of the time when people rebel or flinch against a command, it's because it connotes a feeling of ranking, of superiority. The person who's issuing the command is of a higher place, and nobody wants to be lower, so they kind of bristle at that. When you started the conversation, I'm thinking of the commandment of love your neighbor as yourself.
We're going to go to that one in a minute.
Right, well, it seems to me to be somewhat related. But there, when you're loving your neighbor as yourself, that's not as much about faith as it is love, because that's more of a peer-to-peer relationship than it is a response to someone who's in a position of authority, which is what most people bristle at.
I want us to try to imagine if we grew up in a society that didn't worship free will, that had experiences, maybe you had slaves or maybe you were one, and see how totally different your perception of this mystery of godliness would be. We don't want to hear what Jesus commands us. We want him to do what he commands us. All right, let's go on. Where do we go? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Watch this whole. Let's just start in Well, I hate to read that whole thing. I'll start in verse 5. Defraud you not one the other, except it be with the consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, after one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the Lord, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Now, again, he's talking about sexual matters here, obviously. But the point is that this word again in verse 10, unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. We can't even come to grips with what that means. All right. But it's still the word. The word is the word is diatasso. Oh, and we could spend all day on this. Let's go down to let's go to Matthew 11. This is again the same word, diatasso. In verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, normally when I've taught on that, it's the idea that you don't have to concern yourself with your loved ones, because your purpose is to be a faithful disciple. It's God's purpose to preach unto the relatives. But we're looking at it differently today, in that it's when he had made an end of commanding his disciples. There's the whole, go look up the word, but its command is all over the New Testament. And if it's a command, it's a must. We'll see one in a minute. It says, I command all men everywhere to repent. Now, we don't want a commandment. At least I didn't. Commandment is what made me rebel. I'd have been still in jail if I had been left in a place where I had to salute officers. Well, I was in the military. All right, let's go to John 13. Verse and chapter 12, I mean, chapter, the early part of chapter 13, its purpose is he's foretelling his betrayal and what's his forthcoming death. And then the betrayal is completed because, and this is on Passover, obviously. And then verse 25, and then he lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And the one that was lying on Jesus' breast was John. Remember, Jesus was lying on the breast of Judas. And Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And I mean, that's, you know, we do it every Passover. You have one cup of water for two people. You dip one, and then you give the salt water to another person. So anyway, that's not what we're. Anyway, it goes on. Then let's go down to verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, this isn't the kind of love that's sloppy agape. This is the kind of love where you prefer that other person's interest over your own. And it's almost the same as a servant. In other words, I think that this idea of being a servant teaches us what love is. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's go to John 15. And this is, he defines who his friends are. In verse 14, he said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, that certainly seems unreasonable.
Where did we go?
John 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Then it goes on to say, henceforth I will no longer call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. But still, you are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Now that's just ludicrous from our human understanding. Anybody understand that? It's ludicrous from our understanding to hear and read that scripture.
Which part?
You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever invent that sentence. Any response to it?
So it doesn't mean what it says.
It means exactly what it says. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Same word, diatasso.
So basically, if you're not a disciple, you're not a friend of his.
That's what it says. All right, let's go to another one.
Got some to do.
Let's go to Galatians 3. No, let's go to first Acts 17. Acts 17, next book in the Bible. Verse 30. There's just one verse. This is where he's talking to the debaters at Mars Hill in Athens. One scripture. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance. Well, now we have to go up before. Well, let's start in verse 27. He's talking about all men. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. And find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. All right. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven image by art in man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Jesus said the same thing elsewhere, but he commanded to repent. All right, let's go to Galatians 3. I'm trying to go in order for Ronnie's sake. No, he used to get upset at me when I didn't go in order of the books of the Bible when I went back and forth. All right, let's go to it's still a command.
I didn't say it wasn't a command. Don't argue with me.
All right.
I'm saying it's a command of it's a command of love. Because I don't know. I'm trying to get around that.
No, all his commands are commands of love.
If you, Jesus being Jesus. I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes we think we have the right answer, so out of love, I mean, you can back this down as much as you want to. You can say to a small child, don't play in the street. I'm commanding you, don't play in the street. Out of love.
Well, the same, every command of the Bible was out of love. That was its origin. It's in love.
Well, we talked earlier about it being of faith. That's fine.
Pardon?
We talked earlier about it being of faith.
It is of faith also.
I'm not trying to distinguish between the two.
But it is of all of those. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit isn't fruits. It's one fruit of the Spirit that includes love, joy, peace, suffering, I mean, whatever that is. All of the nine attributes. Huh?
Galatians 3.
Well, let's get there in a second. Now we're in Galatians 3. I'm sorry. Starting verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made and was ordained or commanded by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now the word for ordained there is the same word, diakaso. It's translated appointed, command, give orders, or ordain. But it's all the same meaning. It means command.
What's that word in Hebrew again? In
Greek, it's diatasso, D-I-A-T-A-S-S-O. That's the phonetic spelling of it.
So an ordained minister is a chosen commanded, or what's the other word?
Diatasso means appointed or ordained, or one giving orders, or following the order. It's diatasso. In this case, it was appointed. All right. So now, First John. Let's go to First John. We'll end it there. Verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, it's the automatic of the Spirit. If you have been born of God, you will automatically love anyone else that is born of God. And then that's not a command. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. It's something that we just cannot admit to ourselves, that we are born rebellious. No matter how tame and sweet and meek we seem to be to others, we know in our hearts we rebel at everything. But now I'm begging you, don't rebel at these commandments. Don't rebel. That repents.
Another word might be we're self-serving instead of others serving.
That's by definition rebellion. That is the fall. That's the fruit of the fall, and they cannot be changed. It can be acted, but it cannot be changed. Your mind will always be in rebellion. It's its job. You may not be brave enough to speak it, but internally, it's always rebellion. That's what your mind does. You may couch it in nice words or poems or whatever, but fundamentally, you were born in rebellion. It started the moment you became conscious of yourself. You became a con artist. If you don't believe it, just go watch little kids. Oh, but I'm a nice con artist. This is why the human race died on the cross. There's no more. And that's why we're baptized, so that we bury forever the use of our mind. So we do the very first thing that he told his disciples: abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself. Take no thought for what you're going to do or not do. You just be. Again, if you can't do that, feel you can. Don't try to dance around it. Take the lowest seat and say, Father, I don't know what else to do other than what I'm doing. Help me.
It just hit me why you say be instead of do. The be attitudes instead of the do attitudes.
Go to your room. Go to your room.
I'm serious. I'm serious.
Just be instead of trying to be.
Could have been.
Anybody have anything else? Besides bad attitudes? B for bad. Take it, big guy.
Or the worst would be the do.
What?
You're
kind of bad.
Attitudes, the double do's.
Okay. Take it, big guy, again, quickly.